Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. I'd like to give a shout out to our special sponsors, Speaker and iHeartRadio, who sponsor us. That we wouldn't be able to make this happen without them. And today I'm really excited because we have a very special guest. He's part of our podcast community. He also has a podcast on our show, and he's here today. His name is George Haymaker, and he is here to talk about struggling life, how we could overcome the things that we struggle with. And he also wants to talk about how our brain plays a huge part when it comes to making positive change, how it controls us in more ways than we think. And I just want to mention that he is a neuroscience coach, and he's a very good one, I might add. So listen to what he has to say because he's going to teach you things you never knew were possible and how you could apply them to your daily lives. George, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I am so excited to hear about this. You know, people don't realize the brain has such an impact on everything we do. It controls us, our emotions, are the way we act, the way we respond to things, the way we think, our thoughts, everything. It's an amazing tool, and it plays a big role, you know, on our health also. People don't realize, but the way we our mental health is affects our physical health. And there's so much more that we could talk about. So I'm really excited to get going on this. But before we begin, can you just tell people a little about yourself and what you do so they know a little about you?
Sure, be happy to. Hi, Stacey. Great to be on with you, and hello, everyone. So I'm a neuroscience coach and neuroeducator, and basically, it's a fancy way of saying I help people understand their brains, how they function, how to establish a relationship with the brain, and how to make it work to your advantage, how to train it. I think a lot of us, have this thing on our shoulders, and we're a little intimidated by it. We just feel like, we're kind of subject to whatever it brings us, and we have no control or say so in its mental activity. So I'm here to dispel all that and help you think of your brain differently and maybe establish a different type of relationship with it and use it to your advantage.
I love it. I love it. Now, when it comes to, our brain, like what are some things that people don't realize that that play a huge role in the way that we behave as humans, the way we respond to things? What are some things that you want to share that you feel are really important when it comes to people who are struggling in life and that really want to overcome things? And, we sometimes get stuck in life and we just don't know how to respond the right way. We don't know how to overcome the problems that are in our lives. And sometimes it just, we could reset our brain or make little changes in how we behave, and it can make a huge impact in our lives. For people who are going through challenges in their life, what are some things that people can do to help them on an emotional level?
Yeah, I think the first step is to understand where this mental activity comes from. I'm not sure how many of us have ever really thought about, okay, this emotion just, emerged in my brain, my mind. This thought just occurred. This action that just came that my brain is telling me to do just appeared in my mind. Like, where do these things actually come from? How do they originate? And actually what happens is that they emerge in the moment based on a set of ingredients that are occurring every single moment in time. And those ingredients include our sensory information, what we're seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, how our body's feeling at that moment, the context of what's going on at that moment, and also our conceptual understanding, basically our experiences of what has happened before that gets stored in our brain as memory. And so a situation will arise, and your brain is taking in all this information, and it's emerging, or the brain is predicting what you should think and feel and act in that situation based on those ingredients. And so, generally speaking, everything that we feel, think, and act upon in a moment is a result of our previous experiences. So all the things that we've ever thought, felt, and acted or behaved in certain ways in our lives all kind of come together, and our brain goes to those memory banks, retrieves that information, and predicts that, okay, these situations in the past are similar to what's happening now. This is how we should think and feel in the moment. And so What happens is we keep reliving these experiences over and over again. Those experiences get reinforced and strengthened in our memory, and therefore they keep getting recalled as predictions of what should happen now in the moment. And so that's what getting stuck is. So if we're experiencing thoughts and feelings that aren't pleasant and aren't helpful, it's because we've called upon these memories over and over again and reenacted them over and over again to strengthen them. And so the good news is that the brain is very forgiving. It has developed these patterns over time, but it can just as easily develop new patterns if we introduce those new patterns to the brain and repeat them over and over again. And so we can get into that in a minute in terms of how new patterns are created and how new habits are developed. But that's what getting stuck is the reenactment and re-engagement of these old patterns that are getting pulled out of memory, and our brain predicts those that we should think and feel that way in the present moment.
I agree with you. Our whole back of our brain is our subconscious. And if you ever notice, I've experienced this where a song came on and for no reason, tears started rolling down my eyes. Now, I didn't know why I got so upset over this song, but there was something in the words or something in the melody that triggered something. And it usually always happens from our past experiences in life. A lot of times, we repress emotions and we don't realize it, but everything in life that we don't deal with and we don't heal, gets into our subconscious and gets repressed. And sometimes it could trigger in our present moment how we react to things and how we feel. And it could be in a negative way. So like you were saying, it's very important to be able to reset and create new patterns, because if we don't, all these behaviors and all these things that happened to us in our past are never going to get healed. They're just going to be repressed in our back of our head, and we're going to keep repeating these unhealthy behaviors and habits because of what happened previously in our lives that we no longer are really focusing on, but they're there. They're in our dreams, they're in the and things trigger them, words, music, whatever the case may be. Now, when it comes to these patterns and it comes to breaking patterns and changing, how do we do that? Like, how does a person change? Because a lot of times people don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, so the analogy I like to use is think of like a big tree in your backyard that has these roots that have now come out of the ground, and they're very strong and ingrained and well in place, and these are our representative of our old patterns. Many times they start in childhood based on our upbringing. If we had unpleasant experiences in our childhood, we have now carried those patterns with us into adulthood, and we can encounter certain situations today that our brain pulls these memories out from the past and says this is similar, and we react negatively to situations that maybe don't directly relate to the past, but there's similarities, and so we keep these patterns alive. And so these patterns are like these big, well-established roots in our brain. They're actually called neural pathways, and they're like these strings of neurons that look like roots. And so every time that we re-engage in one of these old patterns, it's like taking a can of water and fertilizer over to these roots and watering them again, which only makes them stronger and more ingrained. So what we need to do is decide that these old patterns aren't helping us anymore, and we're going to change, and we're going to plant a new tree with new roots. And so that's what we do, metaphorically, is we go over to the other side of our property and we plant a new small tree with these very weak roots, and then we're going to start to water and fertilize those. And so that's what, I help people do, is take these patterns that are unhelpful, break them down into little bits and pieces, figure out where those patterns started way back in their past, and talk about why they're no longer helpful to them, why they're no longer true today. They might have been true before, earlier in life, because they help us get by and survive at that time of our lives. But we've carried them with us and they're no longer helping us. They're no longer needed and useful. And so we're gonna break these patterns down, we're gonna dispel them, we're gonna weaken them, and we're gonna create new patterns. This is how I would like to let's say, relate to stress in today's day and age. This is how I would like to engage with people now, versus how I've been doing it. This is how anything that's been difficult, this is how I would like to have it work. This is how I would like to be, think, feel, and behave. And so then we just visualize what that looks like. And we think about how rewarding it's going to be if we start doing it this way. And then we force ourselves through the engagement of our conscious mind, the prefrontal cortex, to really make an effort to be this way, this new way. And then we have to, and that is like watering and fertilizing this brand new tree. And little by little, the more we engage in this new pattern of thinking, feeling, and acting, the more that these roots get strong and more well established. Meanwhile, this old oak tree that's way back over here on the other side of our property, because we are no longer engaging in those thoughts and feelings and actions, it's getting weaker. Those roots are getting weaker. And little by little, they start to break apart. And eventually, that tree kind of falls over, and we're no longer stuck in those patterns. But the brain really likes repetition. It likes the way habits get reinforced and come into habit. Is through a lot of repetition.
You know, a lot of people fear change, and even though they want to change, the fear of changing and not knowing what's going to happen once they change stops a lot of people from wanting to move forward and progress in a positive way. What do you have to say to those people who fear change and they're afraid to change, even though they know it's the best thing to do?
Yeah, great question. And what that fear is the brain's reticence to want to change. And the reason for that is the brain's number one job is to keep you safe and help you survive so that you can continue on with the species. And so what the brain does is it protects and conserves all of its resources in the interest of keeping you safe and survive and surviving. So when you introduce the idea of change to it, it has no idea whether that change is going to keep you safe or not, and whether that change is going to cause you to not be able to survive. And so that's what the fear is. It's the brain's intransigence, the not wanting to go there because it doesn't know if you're still going to be safe when you go there. So that and it wants to conserve resources, and any change involves consumption of resources. It requires you to think and have motivation and have commitment. And have to willpower. Those are all expensive metabolic occurrences. And so that's all this fear is. It's just, the brain is not wanting to go there because it doesn't know that it's safe yet. And so if you look at that in that way, it doesn't make it as hard to get your arms around it. You just tell yourself, okay, well, that's just my brain telling me that it doesn't know if it's safe, but I'm going to tell my brain back that it is safe. I know we're going to survive, and it's going to be worth it because it's going to be much more rewarding when we get there. And so that's where this information about the brain is really helpful, because it helps take the insurmountability out of it, so to speak.
Right. Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, what would you tell someone for when and someone's starting to begin to change? Where do they begin? Like, what's the first step to help them create, positive changes that are going to lead to be able to actually live life to their potential and overcome the challenges and all the things in a life that are holding them back? Because a lot of times people are held back in life because they don't let go. They don't let go of their past. Yeah, I've known so many people who have talked about the past like it was yesterday and it happened like 30 years ago. They keep in their brain stored, the things that hurt them the most. How do you let go? Because in order to heal, we need to let go. We also have the subconscious that triggers us, but the people have to learn to let go as well.
Yeah, so that's again the brain's desire to just keep you where you are, because even though you're not comfortable and these patterns are unhelpful and unwanted, the brain knows that you're still safe and surviving in that moment. And so that's what it and it wants to conserve resources. And so anything different than what you're experiencing is going to require resources, and it does the brain doesn't understand whether what you're wanting to go to is going to be even less safe than where you are now. So that's where
Right.
this getting stuck
I
is. is occurring. And so the first step is to just have awareness around the fact that the brain is willing to change. It's called neuroplasticity, and
Right.
it's the brain's remarkable ability to change, adapt, and evolve over time. And what that really involves is the 85 billion neurons that are in your brain, which string together to make up these memories and all these different learnings and everything else that makes you who you are. These neurons have connected to each other, kind of like a Rand McNally map of the United States, with all the different road networks and highways and small roads and rivers and bridges. That's what your brains look like. But that mapping can change if you start to change how the brain thinks, feels, and acts. And so it's kind of like the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, is you have to
Yes.
start thinking, feeling, and acting different for this remapping to occur. But the brain will follow and remap itself if you start taking the steps to change. The other thing is that change requires time and repetition. So people will try change for a little bit, but they don't get far enough down the path with enough repetition for
Yeah.
the brain to start feeling safe and start to experience some reward from these changes. So the brain has to come along with you, but it requires a significant amount of repetitions for it to start feeling safe and feel reward in order for it to keep coming. People quit well before the brain has come far enough along in the process. And, so I generally say that you're going to need to engage in a new thought, feeling, or action for 90 days, with significant repetition daily, in order for that to become more habitual, in order for it to become less hard, in order for it to then transfer from your conscious mind, where you're having to diligently think about engaging in this new way of being over and over again. It starts to become natural. It starts to then move from the conscious mind to the subconscious mind, where it's just, you don't even have to think about it anymore. So here's another example. Think about if you're going to learn a new instrument, learn how to play golf, learn any new skill, you just don't pick it up in the first few days. If
Right.
you go to the gym and work out, you don't get big muscles in the first week. Think
Yeah.
about how long you have to work at this stuff before it actually starts to show benefit, before you actually start to speak the language, before you can actually play a song on an instrument. This learning how to think and feel and act differently is exactly the same process as any of those other things. So it stands to reason that we're not going to just all of a sudden think, feel, and act differently in a few days or a
Right.
week. It's going to take a few months of fastidious practice and repetition in order for this new way of being to start take hold.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that's one of the biggest flaws of society is that people want results right away, and they don't realize that work has to be put into it in order to see results, that it's going to take time. And I also believe that when we're healing ourselves, there is a pain period also, because when you're healing emotions and you're going into the brain and you're dealing with things that you may not be happy with, you have to re kind of like you're revamping all those emotions, all those feelings all over again, and you have to deal with them to overcome them. And that could be a very painful period, and sometimes people want to run away from that because they don't want to feel the pain. But if they overcome that pain and they overcome those emotions and those habits that were causing them, negativity in their lives, then it once you get over that hump, it's a beautiful thing because you feel a sense of freedom. You're seeing the rainbow finally.
Yeah, and that's I mentioned earlier about deconstructing these patterns and going back to the place where they originated so that we can examine them. People get incredible insights when they, instead of just being stuck in the moment, feeling the experience and the negativity of it, they can actually go back and, okay, well, this is where it started. And it's amazing how far back some of these patterns originate. And so then we break them down and say, well, this is why you're thinking and feeling in this moment today, because of these things that happened way back then. And
Yeah.
then they get these epiphanies, these insights that are like, holy shit, I'm feeling this way today because of that. And
Right.
And then they can begin to break it apart and understand why it's no longer helpful today. And just by understanding that this is where it originated, it loosens the grip of it. And so what we try to do then with these experiences is, cleanse them, understand them, and put them in their right context so that we can wrap them up in a binder, kind of like as a volume in a encyclopedia, and put it up on the shelf saying, this happened in a chapter of my life. It's no longer relevant today. It's not helping me. It's hurting me. I'm gonna package it up and say, you were helpful to me in my past, but no longer today. I'm gonna put you on the bookshelf as a chapter in my life. And I'm going to introduce a new way of being that's going to be more helpful to me going forward. And then we sit there and we construct a new experience with new thoughts, feelings, and actions that represent how we want to be going forward, ones that tie and tether to our values, to our strengths, to our beliefs, to our psychological needs that make up how our identity wants to be going forward. And then we start to practice the crap out of that experience. With the emotions tied to it, with the thoughts tied to it, with the actions tied to it, so that our brain can begin to get used to it, form new neural pathways. And the more that we re-engage in this new way of being, it's like water and fertilizer on these new roots. They get stronger. And 90 days down the road, if we're fastidious and diligent and persevere, it'll be like second nature. And it'll be like we never used to think and feel the old way.
Right.
And so that's what's involved.
I went through similar coaching and therapy myself. And after practicing it over and over and over again, after a while, it became so natural that I didn't even realize it became part of my lifestyle, became a part of me. And I didn't even realize that I was practicing the therapies and the different methods that I was being taught because it became so natural. It became a part of my life that I didn't even realize that it was something that I had learned. It was just became just something that I just automatically did that caused me to be able to move forward in life and not be held back.
And that is the transference of the what is hard at the beginning and what takes conscious effort. So it moves from the conscious mind, which is the front part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, where we're expending a lot of resources trying to figure out this new thing. And the more we practice it, it then moves to the back part of our brain, as you said, the subconscious brain, the autonomic brain, where things like how to ride a bike reside, how to brush our teeth reside, how to make a cup of coffee in the morning, stuff we don't even have to think about. And it almost happens without you even realizing it. It's gradual. And by the end of this period, as it becomes easy and less like you don't even think about it, that is the transference from the conscious to the subconscious mind. It becomes lifestyle. And it happens just gradually over a period of time.
Now, what made you become so passionate about this type of therapy and what you do? Was there something in your own life that gave you the motivation and the passion to have this purpose, to want to learn more about the brain, to want to learn more about the different ways that you could help people change their life by reconstructing their thought patterns and behaviors?
Yeah, so I am that guy that needed to change. I grew up in a privileged and yet challenging upbringing where I grew up feeling less than, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of physical discipline in my home, a lot of moving around from home to home, having to change environments. My parents moved overseas when I was young and I went to boarding school here. I had to fend for myself. And so I was uncomfortable in my own skin. Also had a bunch of addiction on my mom's side of my family, and I ended up coping with my mental discomforts and my patterns with drugs and alcohol starting in college. And I coped that way for 30 years until I hit a hard bottom in my early 50s with pain pill and alcohol use. It got really bad, and I ended up in rehab. It was just a real come to Jesus moment for me. I had to look in a mirror and decide, did I want to go out of this world as an addict, or did I want to give it one more try to reinvent myself? And I reach down deep, as a lot of people do, as you've done in your life, and I know a lot of other people have, and some in the wherewithal to try again. I just didn't know how. I was like, now I'm this person that knows how, but at that time I had no idea. I didn't even know change was possible. I didn't know what change was going to look like. I didn't know anything about the brain. I knew nothing. I was 52, sitting in rehab, helpless, withdrawing, and I just didn't know what was next. But I gave it a try, ended up in a 12-step program, started just getting really curious about my brain, what had happened, what change meant in the brain. I read a bunch of books on psychology, then neuroscience, and 12 years later, I sit here at 64, and I just have become so fascinated with the neuroscience of change that I just can't read enough and research enough, and now I just want to help others achieve the miracle of change that I was able to achieve through helping them understand their brain at a more fundamental level, developing a new type of relationship with it, and helping them through the actual process of change so that they can get through the transformation and out the other side without stopping before they ever get there. And so it's just, I just, as you can tell, I get kind of excited about this stuff, just because I know the effect that change can have on people's lives.
Oh, 100%. If you take the time to want to change and you start practicing different methods and different ways of change, it's amazing how your life could do a total turnaround and how you could actually reach levels in your life that you never thought were possible and become the person that you always dreamt to be, but never thought you could be. It's truly amazing. Now, can you tell us about some of the services that you provide?
Sure. I work with individuals on all of these types of unhelpful patterns. So it could be addiction, but doesn't have to be addiction. Remember, a lot of addiction starts from medicating underlying unhelpful and unwanted mental and behavioral experiences that often start in childhood. So whether you're an addict or not, whether you're wanting to change out of unhelpful mental or behavioral patterns or not, that's the type of change I help people achieve transformationally by remapping their brains through the introduction of these new identities and new experiences. I also help corporations understand their employees' brains. A lot of times, corporations are going to want to get more productivity, are going to want to align with how their employees' brains work so they can create better work environments, work cultures. So I help them understand the brain in that respect. I offer group coaching, workshops, one-on-one coaching. That's primarily the services that I operate. People can go to my website at georgehaymaker.com. There's a link for a free discovery call where we can have 30 minutes of no pressure, no pitching conversation. Just discuss what's going on in your world and how neuroscience can help you recover or transform. There's also a place to sign up for a newsletter under Insights where I can send you regular tips and insights that can help you in your lives.
Oh, I love this. I love this. This is amazing. And can you tell me about it one more time where they can find your website?
George Haymaker, HayamakerDotcom. Also on LinkedIn. Yeah, George Haymaker.
And if people want to just, contact you, I assume they can just go directly to your website or go on the LinkedIn and just ask you any questions about anything that they might have for you.
Yep. I'm here first and foremost to help people. So, if something develops out of it, a relationship of some sort, that's great. But more than anything, I just love to hear from people and want to hear what's going on with them and how I could be of help and just help them be less intimidated with their brains. Understand that the brain is there to develop a relationship with. It's there to serve you. It's not to be something to be intimidated by or scared of. So just think of it as getting out of the passenger seat of the car, where currently your brain might be driving the car, and you're going to get out of the passenger seat. You're going to go around to the driver's seat, ask your brain to move over, and you're going to put your hands on the wheel and start driving yourself to the identity and the version of yourself that you truly want to be, and the brain will follow along with you, I assure you.
I love it. I love it. And this type of therapy is good for any type of condition, really, right?
Yeah, so it's not really therapy. Therapy focuses a lot on the past,
Got it.
kind of releasing old traumas. This is coaching, which takes the past into account. We go back and talk about it and analyze it, but then we loosen the grip of it and we work more on where we're going, not where we've
Got it.
been. So we go to the past, but only to help release it and put it into context and perspective, get the weight of it off your shoulders, and then we move forward. We spend most of our time in the present and the future.
Oh, wonderful. I like this. I like this a lot. This has been amazing. Thank you so much, George, for coming on the show today. I can't wait till our next conversation. And this is amazing. You know, I think it's so important that people really understand how important the brain is and how it really, you know, plays a huge role on everything we do, how we feel, you know, even our longevity. You know, people lose the momentum to live. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see that they pass shortly after. The brain is powerful. The brain can control more than you think, and it can change us or it can destroy us. And if we use it in a good sense, we can build ourselves to be the person we want to be, and we can reach any level of life that we choose to live in. And it all has to do with, like you said, changing ourselves, breaking patterns, creating new habits, new forms of way of living. And it's amazing. So I really look forward to, you know, our show. And before we go, if you had to really, you know, think about any things that you want to really emphasize to the listeners today, is there anything you'd like to emphasize to the listeners today?
Yeah, just a note of hope and encouragement that I know can feel overwhelming. The brain, brings you these past experiences, based on what you're experiencing right now, and it just feels overwhelming that you have no control over what's emerging into your mind. But you actually do. The brain is just doing its best to predict based on how you've done things in the past. But if
Yeah.
you can intervene and take control of your brain through this new relationship I'm talking about, you can actually reshape your entire neural pattern in your brain to represent a completely new ways of thinking, ways of feeling, ways of acting. It's not there to intimidate you, it's there to help you. So just be less afraid and intimidated by it. And it's a give and take relationship. It needs things from you. You need things from it. So it's really about understanding at a deeper, more partnership type level.
Wonderful. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Well, thank you so much, George, for being on the show today. I really appreciate the time you spent with us, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Okay.